My soul will thirst for you. Father, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer to the beauty of your holy name. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise, taking joy to you. Our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Mighty God.
Three days later, he rose. again. That's love, love, yeah.
Oh, come on, if you know it, sing. That's not how the story ends.
That's not how the story. The story ends.
He rose again. That's love.
You wouldn't come down. Thank you for your love, love. Thank you for your love, 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 love. You stayed on the cross for me. You stayed there for me. You stayed there for me. You thought about me and you wouldn't come down. That's love. That's love. That's love.
That's love.
Love for me.
That's love.
That's love.
That's love.
You are worthy of our praise. I wish somebody would praise him in this house. He is worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are us in this place. Mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank
Come
you,
on,
Jesus.
Give him some praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, give him some praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give him some real praise. Like you understand what he did for you. He died. He died. He died so you could live.
Before I begin, can I ask anybody that's here that went with us yesterday to D.C., would you please stand anywhere in this congregation? Come on, put your hands together. Because you know what? We witnessed history. We witnessed history. Just wave your hand, those stand and say, I saw history yesterday. And you know what else? We saw what democracy looks like. We saw what democracy looks like. You can be seated. The Bible said, he cried a loud cry and said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And bowed his head and died. This morning I want to just share some words on the re-crucifying of Christ. The re-crucifying of Christ. There is a desire, I believe, for us Christians today to see the cruelty of the passion that we just heard as some historic event that took place some 2,000 years ago. I think there's a danger for us Christians today to see that crucifixion of Jesus, Yeshua, as some distant event that we recall each year during this Holy Week and then tuck it back on the shelves of our faith's history. But sisters and brothers, I want to tell you this morning that the reality is that the crucifying of Jesus Christ continues. It continues. It is as real as yesterday's news. It is as real as today's headlines. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because when the question was posed to Jesus in Matthew in 25, when he was separating the sheep, and he said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you did not give me drink. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was a stranger, you didn't welcome me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And they said to him, Master, when did we ever see you hungry and not feed you? When did we ever see you thirsty and not give you drink? When did we see you naked and not give you something to wear? When did we see you sorrowful and not give you reason to rejoice? When did we ever see you in prison and did not come visit you? And Jesus looked at them and said, whatever you do to the least, you do to me. Whenever anybody is neglected, you do it to me. Whenever anyone is abandoned, you do it to me. Whenever anyone is in sorrow and you neglect them, you do it to me. Whenever anybody was hungry, you do it to me. Whatever you do to the least, you do it to me. Whenever you humiliate anybody, you do it to me. Whenever you ignore anybody, you do it to me. Whenever you kill anybody, you kill me. See, sisters and brothers, the uncomfortable reality that we don't want to deal with and we want to stay in that historical perspective, the uncomfortable reality is we must face that whenever any individual experiences crucifixion, we crucify Jesus. Whenever any individual feels crucified, Jesus is being crucified. When someone is crawling under a viaduct at night to try to find a place to sleep, or going through a garbage can trying to find something to eat, we crucify you. Whenever somebody has to deal with white supremacy and entitlement, when people feel able to march with torchlights and wave a Nazi flag and scream racial terrorism, whenever anybody is prejudiced against because of their creed or their race, Jesus is being crucified. When we live in a tale of two cities, and Chicago's south side and west side don't look like the north side, when education still depends on your zip code, and when one child goes to the best of schools in the country,
come on, say that, Pastor.
And another child goes to a school with 12-year-old textbooks and afraid to come and afraid to leave, Jesus is crucified. Whenever we live in a day when the most powerful lobbyists in the country can walk into the Oval Office and in a matter of minutes have a president turn from, we're going to do something about guns, to saying, this isn't the time. When guns and money and NRA and power still run this country, Jesus is crucified. When children are being killed, not just in Parkland, Florida, or Newtown, but on the streets of Chicago that's been going on before those children were even born in Parkland or in Newtown. And when young people around this country have to go to Washington and 800 sites across this world saying, protect us, we should be ashamed of ourselves that children have to come together and say, protect our lives. That's what we adults are supposed to do first, is protect our children before we worry about cars and homes and jobs and money. Our children, our future, our seed is in our hands. And when our children don't feel safe, we crucify Jesus. Crucifixion is not some historical event. It's a present day event. When Illinois is still the highest unemployment in the country for African Americans, and Chicago has the audacity to build a sports arena, and the audacity to spend $95 million on a police and fire academy, while we can't keep schools open in Englewood and across this country, and the schools we have open, our teachers are not given the supplies they need to do their job well, that they're spending their money out of their paycheck in order to take things for their children in their classroom. Whenever we allow that kind of sin to go on, We crucify Jesus all over again. When the reality is that the U.S. Navy has now assigning their medics to Stroger County Hospital for training, because the U.S. Navy has said it is the closest thing to a battlefield that they can find in America. Chicago is the closest thing to Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Syria. We crucify Jesus. When racism and poverty and militarism still run in the DNA of the bloodstream of our country, we still crucify Jesus. Pam, stand up. Is Ned, are you here? Any other parents here who've children they've had to bury because of gun violence? Stand up. Is anybody else here? Anybody who's had a family member that's been killed with gun violence? While families have to still go stand in front of caskets of children and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, because we are a country that is more in love with guns than we are people. When we have more laws to protect animals than we do human beings. When we get angry about a dog that dies on a plane and change rules immediately, but when a child dies in the street, we say we can't do nothing right now. When we are crazy enough to change laws to protect animals, but not children, we crucify you, Jesus, all over again. Whenever we don't act like sisters and brothers to each other, and yet call ourselves church, whenever we don't take care of each other, because you think you got so busy taking care of yourself, and you forget that person may be the person that helps you when you're standing in need. Whenever we fail to be brothers and sisters keeper, whenever we become so churchy that we come in here and do church, but we forget how to be church and be brothers and sisters that care and that feed, when we forget what it used to be, if somebody's hungry, you sit at my table tonight. If somebody's not got some place to go, you come in my house till your people get home. When we forgot to be neighbors to each other. Whenever somebody is suffering, and we act like it's not our problem, and we call ourselves Christians. We crucify Jesus all over again. Look at somebody next to you and don't answer them. Just look at them with kindness and say, have you crucified him again ever? Whatever you fail to do for the least of your sisters and brothers, you failed to do to him. His Bible says, you can't come here and say you love him whom you do not see and not love each other whom you see every day. That brother on the corner, that's your son. That elder in the house all by herself or himself, that's your mother, your father. That girl who's pregnant and everybody has rejected, that's your daughter. That woman trying to raise her kids by herself, that's your sister. That man who feels like he can't even be a father because he can't get a job, that's your brother. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto him. A friend of mine told me of visiting the slave castles in Ghana. She spoke of the eeriness of sensing as she sat in that slave castle. She closed her eyes and she said she could hear in her spirit the cries and the moans of ancestors holed up in the dark, cold dungeons, awaiting to go through the door of no return. She said, of standing alongside of one of the dungeons that had held Africans before they were placed on slave ships, that while she was standing there next to the dungeon, she looked up, and there on top of the dungeon, she saw a church built with a steeple and a cross. And she said it made her sick. She said, how could a church sit on top of a place that held captured Africans who were getting ready to be sold into slavery? And it made me think of that book I've told you I've seen and looked at so many times that just made me cry, called Without Sanctuary, where the pictures of African Americans hung on trees, strange fruit. But what angered me to outrage was people standing at the bottom, dressed up in their Sunday best, who had just left church, walking out for the lynching, singing as they walk, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that had saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. No, you ain't. I was blind, but you still don't see. And they stood around that lynching tree, having just left the sanctuary, and watched men and women hung and burned. No different from the crosses that hung on slave ships, while cargo below was human life. Sisters and brothers, that ought to make us sick.
coming here every Sunday, knowing thousands of people that gather in churches all around this city and around this world today, and walk out and see the pain and the hurt and the crucifixion that goes on, ought to make us sick. Sisters and brothers, don't get all caught up with the crucifixion that happened 2,000 years ago. But for God's sake, get caught up with the crucifixion that's going on March 25th, 2018, today. Because the crucifixion going on now is just as ugly, as bloody, and as painful as the crucifixion that took place 2,000 years ago on a hill called Golgotha. Because when anybody out there is being crucified, understand Jesus is still being crucified. The question is, what's our response going to be? Will we look like the crowd that stood around Calvary? Remember, that is the crowd that were fed bread and fish while they listened to him. That was the crowd that watched lame walk, blind see, death here, and watch Lazarus come out of a tomb. The same crowd that had been healed by him, blessed by him, touched by him, taught by him, was now the crowd that one minute shouted Hosanna and the next minute cried crucify him. There may be a few people here that understand. People who one time prodded you on your back can stab you in your back on the next minute. What will be our response? Will we be like those who stood at the hill of Calvary? Silent? While crucifixion took place? Or worse yet, will we be the people that assimilated into the evil and helped the nailing by our neglect or our co-conspiring? Brothers and sisters, I close telling you this. Yesterday, history was made in America. Yesterday, young people from across America came together and cried out, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Yesterday, our young people came together with all of their spirit of impatience. Who has a phone? See, I love our young people because our young people grew up on this. So when they want something, they just say, Siri, tell me what the weather is in California. Siri, tell me what's going on in London. Siri, tell me what's going on. I don't have Siri. I have Shanae on my phone. I'm from 79th Street. But Shanae and Siri will tell you whatever's going on. Our young people grew up being able to find everything instantly. So our young people say, I'm impatient, I'm not waiting, because you adults have waited for too long for change to come. But young people are saying, no, it's going to happen today. It's going to happen now. It's going to happen right now. Enough. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now. Now. It is our young people that are saying, either We will vote you out. We will vote you out. But young people are saying, here's one thing we do know. We will outlive you. We will outlive you. So I say to you, Saints of Bina, this Palm Sunday, let the Spirit of God rise up to all the crucifying that's being done in this country today of Jesus and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I can't hear you. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I can't hear you. Come on, I can't hear you, choir. I can't hear you, church. I can't hear you. 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 Keep going. I was born in a river, in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but a change is going to come because enough is
Malachi 3.